Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently waiting. Good day and welcome to Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited Q2 FY24 conference call hosted by Kotak Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand over the conference over to Mr. Nischint from Kotak Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Nischint.
Good morning, and sorry for the technical glitch. Just continuing, we're discussing the 2Q FY24 performance of Chola. We have with us Mr. Vellayan Subbiah, Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Ravindra Kundu, Executive Director, and Arul Selvan, President and CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Vellayan for his opening comments.
Nischint, thanks so much, and sorry for the delay. The key financial results for the quarter we'll just go through and the half. Disbursements for the quarter were at 21,542 crores, which is up by 47%, and for the half, it's up by 41,557 crores. It is at 41,557 crores, which is up by 49%. Total AUM stood at 133,775 crores, which is up by 46% year-on-year, and net income for the quarter was at 2,367 crores, which is up 39% year-on-year, and for the half, it's up at 4,493 crores, which is up by 35% year-on-year. The PAT for the quarter was at 762 crores, which is up by 35%, and for the half year, it's at 1,489 crores, which is up by 32% year-on-year. So just the board of directors of CIFCL approved the unaudited financial results for the quarter and half year. Just some quick highlights. Both disbursements and AUM was robust in Q2 due to all-round growth in demand. We're seeing a pickup in replacement demand from end-user segments in the auto sector, and that supported the growth for vehicle finance. The loan against property business witnessed a healthy revival due to growth in demand from the SME segment, and home loans continue to register above-average growth due to revival in earnings of self-employed non-professionals. The new segments of SME, CSEL, and SBPL also continue to register growth, though on a smaller base. In Q2, CIFCL launched a composite QIP issue of equity shares, rupees 2,000 crores at a price of 1,180 per share, and compulsory convertible debentures, rupees 2,000 crores at a face value of rupees 1 lakh, overall aggregating to 4,000 crores. The funds from the investors were received in the first week of October 2023, and the allotment has been since completed on 5th October 2023. Some quick performance highlights. The aggregate disbursements in Q2 we just talked about, which is basically 21,542 as against 14,623 in the same quarter, which is a growth of 47%. Vehicle finance disbursements were 11,731 in Q2 as against 8,502 crores in Q2 of FY23, which is a growth of 38%. Loan against property disbursed 3,192 crores in Q2 FY24 as against 2,246 crores in the comparable quarter last year, which is a growth of 42%. Home loans, affordable home loan, and affordable LAP disbursed 1,575 crores in Q2 FY24 as against 743 crores in Q2 FY23, which is a growth of 112%, and obviously, the percentages are abnormally high because of the smaller base. SME disbursed 1,945 crores, registering a 32% growth over 1,473 crores in Q2 FY23. CSEL disbursed 2,853 crores as against 1,579, which is a growth of 81%, and SBPL disbursed 246 crores for the quarter. AUM stood at 133,775 crores compared to 91,841, which is a growth of 46%. So the PBT growth in Q2 was at 35% and for H1 was at 31%. And the PBT ROA was at 3.2 for the quarter, and for the half year was at 3.3%. ROE for the half was at 19.8% as against 18.3% in the previous year. The company continues to hold a strong liquidity position with 11,000 crores as cash balance at the end of September 2023, including 1,500 crores each invested in GSEC and T-bills, which is shown under investment, with a total liquidity position of 13,569 crores, including undrawn sanction lines. The ALM is comfortable with no negative cumulative mismatches across any time bucket. Consolidated PBT was at 1,065 crores as against 762 crores, which is a growth of 40%. In terms of asset quality, stage 3 was reduced to 2.96 as of September 23 from 3.06 as of in June 23. GNPA as per RBI norms reduced to 4.07 as against 4.3 in June 23, and NNPA as per RBI norms has dropped to 2.59 for September as against 2.82 in June. NNPA is below the threshold of 6% prescribed by RBI as a threshold for PCA. Capital adequacy as of 30th September 2023 was at 16.62, as against a regulatory requirement of 15%. Tier 1 was at 14.66 and Tier 2 was at 1.96. Post the capital raise, capital adequacy is above 20%, effective 5th October 2023. Clinicians, we'll stop with that and we'll be happy to turn it over to you for questions.
Sure. We can start the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Puneet from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, William. This is Suresh Ganpati from Macquarie. So let's address the elephant in the room, which is the new business loans, NPLs, William, because it's gone up from 28 crores last quarter from that level to 190 crores. I know there is a base effect here, but if I were to look at this number on a lagged AUM basis, it's 4%, William. It's a stupendous increase. Are you guys not worried about this pace of increase in this segment?
Yeah, so two things, Suresh. Obviously, just to give you a sense, there are two things happening here. One is the reporting format has changed, right? Because what used to get logged as FLDG and how we've logged kind of that before. So Arun, why don't you explain kind of on the...
Yeah, the NPAs are increasing in the CSL a little bit, but still they are very much well within the industry norms. We have always said in the earlier quarters, the NPAs were much lower, they were even lower than our secure businesses, so that's where it will increase. But in the overall scheme of things, these NPAs are much lower, and we have already provided more than 70% for this, and the net NPAs on these are already much lower. So we will continue to watch this portfolio and do this.
But Arun, this number is 66% of QOQ, 4% on a large AUM basis. Are you still telling it is in line with your expectations? Because it really looks like going a little bit out of proportion.
No, it is within our expectations and within our, planned numbers.
So you feel these numbers are peaked or they will further go up from current levels?
It may not go up. We are doing certain corrective actions with regard to the two segments, as you know, Suresh. One is the fintech partnerships and then we have the traditional line. In the traditional line, we are very much within control, and that is around 0.82%.
So Suresh, that's the way we should look at it, right? We should kind of break it down into two lines, right?
And the partnerships as well.
So the traditional line, we're at 0.82% in terms of stage three gross assets. In the partnerships has gone up. Yeah, go ahead, Arul. Why don't you just give some details?
And the proportion of the book is, the traditional line is 3/4 of the book, and the partnership is 1/4 of the book. On an 8,000 crore book, we have 6,600 crores in the partnerships. The traditional line, which is having a NPA of around 0.82. And in the partnership, which is the 2,200 crores, we have a NPA of around 4.7.
So, Suresh, to your point on how we're going to react and how we're going to manage this, obviously, we are concerned on the partnership side, right? And obviously, we will kind of be more cautious on the partnership side, which is what has run up. The partnerships at 4.7 is the highest stage 3 that we have in the overall book. And therefore, we will be cautious on that and how we manage, including growth on that. But on our regular, which is like Arul said, which is 3/4 of our book, on our regular, we're seeing a 0.8%. So even on a lagged AUM basis, on the regular, it's okay. But the partnership is what is of concern.
But partnership is protected by FLDG.
Correct. Partnership is certainly protected by FLDG, but it's still of concern.
No, but it is protected by FLDG only to the extent of 1%, right?
No.
FLDG has a different.
FLDG will be at 5% as per the regulatory norms, but we will also have certain hold on them with regard to continuing or extending businesses and service costs, etc.
So, Suresh, you're right in that the partnership business is what we're being cautious about, and we will continue to be very cautious about that.
Sorry, a last question on early vintage delinquencies. You know, the recent CIBIL report talks about the fact that, the early vintage delinquencies, that is delinquencies within 3 months or 6 months of disbursing of the loan, is really shot up in certain small ticket loans. Are you seeing that kind of a trend? Because if early vintage delinquencies is one of the lead indicators of the stress forming in the portfolio, have you seen that happening in your new business loans within 3 or 6 months by default?
So, Suresh, the early default and non-starters are under control, and this kind of delinquency in the fintech business is there from the beginning itself. Earlier, the FLDG accounting was a different, therefore, that was not coming up. And therefore, that is not a concern for us. And early default and non-starters are normal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. First one, again, continuing on that, your FLDG arrangement with the partners. So technically, I mean, from accounting perspective, asset quality develops, depending upon your, the stage three or different stage developments, you will provide the credit cost. And whatsoever FLDG recovery, that will come into your other income line. So is my understanding correct there? That's number one.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, good. And second one is more if you can provide some color on the yield development, not from the external factors, because of course externally, it all depends how the interest rate are going to behave. But based on your product mix, growth across different channels at a different stage, a bit of a product mix change that will happen over the next, 3-4 quarters. Of course, a housing typically will be slightly lower yield. Within vehicle also, the growth outlook would be different. How are you seeing sort of, your yield movement due to product mix changes setting up over the next 3-4 quarters? Thanks.
See, if you see that, quarter two of the last year was 13.6 in terms of total income, and that has gone up to 14.3% now. So, This income has not increased in the line of the increase in the cost of fund. That's the reason there is a drop in the NIM from 7.6 to 7.4. That is correct. But what is happening is that in the vehicle finance, we are having a marginal book yield significantly higher than the book yield of, say, 14.3%, maybe 15.3%. We are now acquiring the book. but the effect of the 15.3% come with a lag, and that will start showing up after 2 to 3 quarter. So we will, by the end of this quarter, we will start hitting the number what it used to be in the past in terms of the NIM, because the, you know, income has to go up to the extent of the cost of fund going up. Now coming to the product mix is three types of product mix. Within the company, we have a product mix of, let's say, vehicle finance, LAP and other products. So there are two types of product which we are doing it. One is fixed rate and the, you know, floating rate. So all the floating rates book, which is pertaining to loan against property or housing loan or FLE, have been already been increased to the extent of what is required with us. Now within the vehicle finance, product mix is depending on the used and new. And now our used business has gone up to, say, 33% as against the 25% of the mix which used to do it in the past. So that is going to increase the overall yield of the book of vehicle finance, which is at the end will increase the total income book of company. And it will take another 2 quarters.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue and be brief in your questions. The next question is from the line of Ashwini Kumar Agarwala from Edelweiss Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Two questions here. How do you see the growth in the vehicle finance industry, especially in tractors, SCV and LCV, because we have seen very good traction in the last 3-4 years. And I don't think we are at the peak of the cycle for all the, these segments. Even your disbursement has gone down, has slowed down.
So in tractor, if you see that in Q1 was like, you know, minus 2% growth, and then Q2 has come with minus 6% growth. And so as of now in tractor and half yearly, we are minus 4% growth. So, and in the month of October also, we have seen that tractor is actually declined by 4% further. So now we are hoping that November onwards only thing will improve. But whatever it will improve, it cannot go, you know, beyond say 3-4% of the growth in the, you know, current year, or maybe it will be a flat growth.
What about SCV, LCV?
So heavy commercial vehicle now, half yearly it has reached to the 10% growth. Light commercial vehicle has reached to 3% growth. We are project, and the current month in the month of October, HCV has done very well. It has gone up 14% plus, and light commercial vehicle also has gone up. So considering HCV and LCV, and small commercial vehicle is still regrowing. In the month of October, it is a flat growth. So at the industry level, for the entire commercial vehicle, as on 30th September, it has been 1% plus over the last year, same time. So we are hoping that the industry will be having single-digit growth, maybe a higher growth up to 7-8% max, or between 5-7-8%.
So now just one question related to this only. Out of a total AUM, more than 60% is in the vehicle finance, which where growth is an issue. So we have talked about AUM growth of roughly 25-30%, more like 30%. So how is that possible with the growth slowdown in the main segment?
So vehicle finance, if you see that the commercial vehicle grew by 1%, we grew by 6%. Our total disbursement has grown in commercial vehicle by 15%. So little bit market share growth, the 5% plus market growth, plus the ticket size growth is giving us 15% growth in new segment. But the major growth is coming from used vehicle. As I mentioned, that we are growing, our disbursement mix has gone up to 34%. And there are other products like two-wheeler, three-wheeler, and cars and everything. So put together, we have grown 35% with the help of those products.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations on a good quarter. Sir, again, just briefly touching upon this newer businesses in the CSEL segment, you've already explained that large part of it is coming from partnerships. So somewhere during your commentary, you also said that you're taking some corrective actions Just wanted to understand, have you made any changes in our approach or strategy in the CSEL segment?
Obviously, the large part of the business of CSEL is actually coming from the traditional, which is 78%, and 22% is only the partnership. And partnership, as we mentioned even in the last quarter call also, that we are not adding any new partners right now. We are continuing to do it. And we are also helping the partners to correct their filter so that the NCL can go down further, although it is being protected by the FLDG.
Now, Abhijit, were you saying a large part of the issue was coming from partnerships, or the large part of the portfolio was coming from partnerships?
Large part of the issue coming from partnerships.
So what is your question around that?
So, sir, you were saying that you're already taking corrective actions in the CSEL segment. So I wanted to understand, how have you changed that approach or strategy in this segment?
So there are two things, like Ravi said, we're slowing down that segment, right, the partnership segment, significantly. And we're also going to constantly evaluate which partners we continue to have in our portfolio. And then basically, obviously, if we're not seeing good performance on the loans, whether we should continue in those partnerships. So those are the two things. Slowing down and reducing the number over time.
Got it, sir. And my last question is, first is for Ravi, sir. Sir, how has the festive Dashera demand been? The second one is for Arun, sir. How are we thinking about the provisioning cover on stage 3 loans going ahead?
This Dasara, last month we celebrated, has been good for the commercial vehicle, passenger vehicle, three-wheeler, but and construction equipment. Two-wheeler and tractor were actually not done well. Tractor and two-wheeler likely to improve from, November month. For the second half, we are expecting better growth in commercial vehicle, as we've seen that there has been only 1% growth in first half. As against that, the second half will be, double-digit growth, which will help a commercial vehicle to reach, between 5 to 8%, as I mentioned. Passenger vehicle is growing at the rate of 7%, and the growth in the October month is also good, which is going to support take passenger vehicle growth to double-digit. So that is the growth, and as I mentioned that when you gain a little bit more market share in the case of commercial vehicle and passenger vehicle, what we have achieved now, like for example, now we are up by 20-30 basis points in terms of market share in commercial vehicle and passenger vehicle. Our disbursement growth is coming to 20%. And the additional growth which is coming up to take the overall growth to 35% is being met by the two-wheeler used vehicle and three-wheeler and construction equipment. And so what is your second question?
So provision coverage, as you have seen, Abhijit, has been improving, and we are now at around 47%. My view is it to hover between 45% to 50% as we move forward in the next few quarters. It will depend on the PD, LGTs and the product mix.
That's all from my side. Thank you very much, and all the very best to you and the Chola team.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Prashant Sridhar from SBI Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my question. So the yield in these new businesses seems to have gone up significantly from 22 to around 27%. One, if you can explain this, and now that you're being conservative, should we expect this to go down?
So what we are saying is that in the case of the partnership, which is 1.5% of the total portfolio, we are actually evaluating the partner where the NPAs are higher. So in spite of we are basically protected, we are guiding them to ensure that their filters are tight. So not that 1.5% disbursement will go down and it will impact the overall yield. That is what is the
No, case. But I think his point is the yield is going up. You're saying the yield is going up in those businesses. How much does the yield move up?
No, comes down.
So is your concern that the overall yield will come down if we slow down the partnership business, or are you saying that the yield in the partnership business has gone up?
No, so I'm saying that the total yield in the other businesses seems to be increasing, and now that you plan to be conservative, where should we sort of expect the average yield in this business to stand?
So again, right, I mean, I think you're over-indexing on the fact that, see, like we're saying, our total partnership portfolio is at 2,000 crore. Okay? That's 2,000 on an AUM of 133,000, which is about 1.6%, right? So definitely, kind of us slowing down in that business is not going to affect overall yields or swing overall yields at all. So I think if that's your question, then that is the response.
Okay.
That's the answer.
Okay. So the yield on the other business, we would expect at around 25%, 26% on average. Is that fair?
No. Where? I'm just confused where you're getting your yield data from, right? Because we've not shown any yield.
The income at the company level is around 14.3%, and which has increased from 14.2% in the previous quarter, that's Q1.
And that will go up only vehicle finance?
It will go up, only because of vehicle finance mix changing.
Okay. Sure. No, maybe if you can just help us. So in the other businesses, how would the yield have moved in the last two or three quarters?
The other businesses, we have not yet started disclosing the yield and the line items. As we said, we will.
Directionally, we can tell you.
No, here, actually, the page number, if you go to the loan against property page number, the yield is given 11.7%-12.7%. So there is an increase in 100 basis points.
These two pages. He's asking more on the.
You're asking for new businesses, or what are you asking?
Right. Right. New businesses.
So the new businesses is a mix of two different, one certain high-yield businesses like CSEL and SBPL high-yield but low volume, SME high volume but low yield. So it's a mix, and it will all come to the similar levels of around 14% if you consider it. We will start disclosing this from next financial year. I think till that time, independently, each business yields, we are not disclosing.
So just to give you a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. What's your question?
No, so the way we arrived at it is, so you've given the gross income on vehicle, LAP, and home loan, and we have the total. So I'm just taking the balance as others and then taking it as a percentage of.
Okay. This is the same mistake even last time somebody did with regard to the provision.
Credit cost.
There is also a treasury income there. So don't assume that all of the rest of the income is only from the new businesses. So treasury, we have a transfer price model. Anything beyond the transfer price is considered as treasury income. So I think kindly wait for us to disclose the details before getting trying to get this arrived at.
Sure. No, fair enough, sir. And out of the 13, eight, I think, is CSEL. How is the NPA on the remaining business? Anything over there for us to worry about?
Actually, SBPL volume is so small, it's around 0.2% or something like that. Can you go to?
Yeah. SBPL is
0.2%.
0.2%.
SME is 1%, and SBPL is 0.2%.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinav Anchal from SBI Life. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I have two questions. One, when we are showing the segmental information, we are seeing a decline of 20-25 basis points in cost of fund across the three lines. But at the company level, the cost of funds are flat. So can you help us understand what is happening when we are showing the segmental cost of funds? And the second part is.
Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
Yeah. And the second part is that we are seeing a very strong traction on the used vehicle side, almost 10% sequential growth in disbursement. So can you give us some color on the used vehicle category, that which class of vehicles we are financing, what is the vintage of vehicle we are financing, and what is the outlook here for, let's say, the next couple of years?
First point, I'll answer, and I'll request Ravi to give you the second point. First point is the pricing to the individual businesses goes based on a transfer price, which is declared at the beginning of the month. So the transfer price we will be giving based on what is the treasury's assumption in the market. So that is the transfer price, and between that and what is really incurred, there will be some differences which goes into the treasury P&L. as well as other investments. So whenever we have surplus funds because we are holding cash for LCR purpose, etc., those things are investment income that comes into the treasury pool. So these are the ones which get into treasury income. So that transfer price from that is the cost of funds in what you're seeing in the segmental is based on that transfer pricing. So that will be different. The overall cost of funds in the reported for the company is the actual cost of funds incurred by the company. I'll request Ravi now to answer the used vehicles part.
So used vehicle, we mentioned in the past that we will be focusing on that, and this year is a market of the used vehicle because last year new vehicle purchased went up, and then now people are selling their vehicle and then the replacement demand will pick up, and that will help the industry to basically see new vehicle also getting sold. So the used vehicle is coming from HCV, LCV predominantly, then followed by passenger car, and then used tractor and used construction equipment. All put together, it is 34% of the total disbursement, close to say 1,400 crore. And these businesses are going to go up only, and the growth, the momentum is very good, and it is going to be maintaining this way. Now, we have always clarified that we have been doing the business of used only for the vehicle which are less than 10 years. So major vehicle which are coming to us for buy and sell or refinance are 5 to 10 years old vehicle.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You?
Hello, Abhinav. Are you done with your question?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank
you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Daptardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on this set. I just have one question. So this quarter we saw credit cost around 1.3%, and given the fact that there have been additions to NPA from the new business segment, you also mentioned we raised the PCR there. What is the normalized credit cost for the overall book going forward? Thank you.
So we had already, indicated that in earlier calls that our over a cycle we would be in the range of around 1%. So maybe this year we may land up slightly higher at around 1.1 or 1.2%, but we expect in Q3, Q4 good traction on the vehicle finance and other portfolios to reduce this percentage. And sales should be in the range of around 1 to 1.2% this year.
Okay. And just one question I just want to confirm. So did you mention CE volume growth to be 8% for the full year, FY24?
What volume growth? We can't hear you.
CV volume growth. What is that 8% growth in CV for full year, FY24?
That is the industry. We have mentioned that industry likely to grow in single digit because as of now growth is 1%. So it will improve over the period in second half, and it will go between 5 to 8% is our expectation.
So that's the volume growth, right, for the full year. The industry volume growth. Okay. Noted. Thank you.
Industry number growth.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your question to one question per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Saptarshi Chatterjee from Grow AMC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations. Sir, if you can give some ballpark indication, what would be ROTA for the new businesses? And if someone, if we assume that the, ROTA, as you have said earlier, that the ROTA for the new business are higher than the company level ROTA, then if I see pre-COVID also, pre-COVID we are making around between 3.1 to 3.5, 3.6% ROTA. Now also, even after,
Please go ahead.
Yes. So now if we see after new businesses are now around 11% of our AUM, still lower, but we have achieved some bit of diversification, but our ROTA has not improved much. And going forward, one can expect only credit costs to move up from here as the book matures. So I wanted to know your perspective, whether the structural ROTA improves as we grow our new businesses or it will be remain in the similar line.
The comparison between COVID period and now, there are two important elements. The cost of funds was very low, and we had also passed on some benefits on the yield, especially with regard to vehicle finance book. We spoke about it. We cannot correct the yield on the fixed rate book. So that correction will happen. So that is going to be NIM accretive and therefore ROTA accretive. Our expectations are we have sort of bottomed out on the peaked out on the cost of funds. So here onwards there should be reduction in cost of funds. So that should also be NIM accretive. I'm not wanting you to build too much expectation on that, but this could be in the range of around 5 to 10 basis points from each of them contributing. The credit cards will come lower. If you again go back to pre-COVID, you will always see Q1 and Q2 of the quarters, especially in vehicle finance, where you will see higher credit costs because these are, months where activity levels are much lower, and especially for vehicle operators. And they tend to have better earnings in Q3 and Q4, where we will have better traction in collecting overdues as well as regular EMIs. So, that's where I am giving, when I spoke on the earlier question also, it is from current 1.3%, it will come down to 1.2 or 1.1% is the overall credit cost we are expecting. So we are confident of keeping the ROTA at around 3 to 3.5%, which is what we always say that we are endeavoring to reach at, and we are confident that this year also will reach the 3.5%.
I mean, it's helpful. And any ballpark, like, indication that you can give on the new business ROTA?
No, I told again in the earlier question that the new businesses breakup will start disclosing from next year. So we will do that. Kindly wait.
Understood. But still, like, even if those are higher, but we still remain around 3 to 3.5% ROTA guidance.
Yeah, broad indication, sir. It is like there are new businesses which are lower yield and lower ROTA, like SME businesses, and there are other businesses. So we will have to wait and
see. The SME business is lower than the overall company ROTA, and it is going to be like that only. And our CSEL business and SGPL businesses will be much higher than the company ROTA, what we are delivering as of now. But it will take time because we need to leverage, and we have invested in that in terms of people. And once the AUM goes up, then we start gaining that kind of quota, and it will take another 6 months to 1 year time.
Understood, sir. Very helpful. And just one clarification. This quarter, we are seeing that the employee cost growth has been Q on Q very high, even on Y1 basis. Any one-off in this?
No. See, we moved a lot of people who were under an off-roll arrangement into our own employee cost. So you will see some reduction in other costs and employee cost going up. If you compare both together consider the increase in AUM as well as, normally the increments and promotions happen in Q2. So there will always be some increase on account of that. Factoring in all that, that's what is the reason for this variance. Over the next two quarters, you will see this difference between employee cost and the other cost, but it will up to next Q2.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, participants request to limit your question to one question. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Bhavish Kanani from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. Going back to the fintech partnership where we are looking to take corrective actions, just wanted to understand the manner in which the entire arrangement is structured. That is, I'm sure we would be giving them certain filters of the kind of loans we want to source through them, and on top of that they would be doing their own evaluation. How does it work in terms of exact specific aspects of the arrangement when it comes to underwriting aspect with partnership model?
So all the fintech partners who actually start proposing the norm, then it actually goes through our underwriting team, and also the risk rate is also evaluated. then we approve a filter which is acceptable to us. Then after getting the early default and non-starter, we start, you know, recommending to basically tighten the credit so that, you know, further the early default non-starter can come down. And that is what we mentioned, that wherever there is a slight increase in the NPA, we are trying to basically reduce it by increasing more filter. And that is the continuous process, because one is that the, you know, in the partnership, they come with the FLDG, but secondly, we have to also ensure that we should not depend on only FLDG, but our NPAs are lower. So our endeavor is to basically, you know, provide data analytics and risk department services to them to ensure that they end up, you know, sourcing good quality of proposal. That is one side. Second is that we also review their collection mechanism. Like, for example, what is current roll forward and then what is the roll forward in the subsequent bucket. We identify that their current, their entire focus of this fintech partnership is in the current only. They're able to basically do much lower roll forward or higher collection efficiency in the current. But when it comes to the roll forward from the bucket one to bucket, you know, higher bucket, they're not able to put that kind of effort. So we are, you know, helping them to increase the collection efficiency in higher bucket so that the NCL can come down. So that is also the services we are providing as a guidance to them.
Okay. And, you know, you shared that the GNP levels for the fintech book is about 4.7. And we are still considering that as within the original, you know, expected levels. At what level would you, you know, kind of reconsider this entire fintech as a route of origination? What level of NPA would trigger that kind of re-evaluation?
No, I think we've already discussed that we're basically, you know, obviously we're evaluating and slowing down, right? So kind of obviously even at this level of people continue, right? We won't be basically growing partnerships that are basically contributing to NPA at these levels.
Second is that...
Mr. Bhavish Kanani, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but as we have more participants in the queue, I would request you to join the queue, please. Thank you. Sure. The next question is from the line of Ketav Shah from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Good morning. First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. Mr. Gadhan, this question is for you. Since you are the largest shareholder, how do you see this business in terms of risk, given that we are hearing a lot about smaller ticket size loans are turning bad? Do you think that you will be easing off sometime in terms of growth, or you're comfortable in terms of the data that you're seeing coming from your own company?
Are you talking about the partnership loans, or are you talking about the overall?
No, sir, just generally, overall, not the partnership loans. I think the question is the fix, so I mean, there's no...
But overall, maybe I'm trying to understand the question, because obviously overall our book does not have a lot of small ticket personal loans, right? And overall our book is, you know, we're 60% focused on vehicle, and, you know, we've got 20% on loan against property. So I'm just trying to understand overall, I mean, over 90% plus of our portfolio is secured lending, right? So
98%.
Yeah, 90, yeah. So I'm just trying to understand the nature of the question,
the nature of the question is in the fact that is the problem kind of just isolated to partnerships and the other business aspects are doing fantastically well? Do you see this kind of continuing? Are you also you know, looking at risk now more closely than, let's say, a year ago? Is kind of across the other businesses as well.
So, I mean, obviously we have and continue to monitor risk in all of our businesses. And I don't think anything changes there. And, you know, I would say that we have fairly matured and well-developed systems that we continuously improve on. So we're continuously working on what we can do for vehicle, what we can do for LAP, what we can do for housing loans, to improve credit models, underwriting models, collection models, all of that, right? And so that process continues, and our analytics capability. And that only gets me more and more confident overall about the business for us going forward. I think the specific question, and I understand that there have been questions, quite a few questions relating to our partnerships business. We are obviously kind of looking at that and looking at what kind of corrective action we want to drive in that business. But overall, you know, I would say that my confidence level is very high because, you know, we see good growth from the other sectors, good performance, and significant, you know, I would say even medium to long-term growth opportunities in those segments.
Got it. Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your question to one question per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Congratulations to the team on a good quarter. Just one question from my end. Now, in the past, also the management has discussed, right, some of these new businesses will take some time to stabilize, and by nature itself, they might have slightly higher NPLs on the face of it. But my question is that should we assume that on a long-term basis, the headline NPA and the credit cost number might look a little elevated, although we might be able to deliver the kind of ROAs and ROEs that we are looking at the overall console level. Is that the right understanding?
Yeah, see, there would be, that is the whole point of the diversification, right, Umang? Because we will have books which will run at much lower credit costs, and we'll have some books which will run at a slightly higher elevated credit cost. And they will also change the you know, quantum and the percentages over cycle. And the well-diversified book helps us to manage this and keep it within the target, as I was telling you earlier, in the 1 to 1.2% range. I think we still hold that, and we are confident that we should not cross that, given...
The answer to your question is, no, we don't think it's going to kind of increase out of this range.
Perfect. That answers my question. All right. Thank you so much, and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Preeti RS from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, team. Thank you. So if you look at, my question is on the asset quality in vehicle finance. If you look at the provisions, it is trending at around 1.6% for the first half, which is higher compared to pre-COVID trends. And even the gross stage 3 on absolute basis is higher by 17% compared to March 23. And if you do some back calculation, it suggests we have written off 400 crores on a overall portfolio basis. So which segments within vehicle finance are contributing to newer slippages?
Okay, vehicle finance, first of all, from June to September end, if you see that our NPAs are flat, that is 3.35 to 3.32 in absolute value, it has gone up by 100 crores. But provision has gone up by almost 100 crores. So that is the additional provisioning we are creating for the higher bucket from this financial year. You would have heard that RBI is talking to every finance company to improve the provision coverage. So we have brought one particular norm which is over and above the ECL, and that is the reason for the higher NPL for this. Second is that this first quarter is always. First quarter and second quarter is always the lean period for the vehicle finance, especially in September this year. It was fully raining as against the August was dry. So little bit collection did not happen in the month of September as it was expected, which is going to happen in this quarter. Last year, if you see that, our numbers are much lower from the Q1 to Q1 and Q2 to Q2 and H1 to H1. And we are expecting that we have closed the number close to 1.2%, and with the help of the Q3, Q4 performance, we will reach to the level.
Also, is it fair to say it's the tractor segment within the vehicle finance?
Oh, it is not a tractor segment alone. It is all across segment, across the markets. You know, there is no concentration with respect to geography and the product.
Okay, and could you confirm it to write off number is right for the Q2 and
Q3? Pardon?
What is the write off number for H1?
H1 write off number, 1 second, just hold on. H1 write off numbers are actually similar to what last year number.
100 crore lower.
Actually, it is lower by 100 crore.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Last year it was 500 crore, now it is 400 crore.
Okay.
That is the company level.
That is the company level. And even vehicle finance also is lower.
It is 110 crore.
Yeah.
Most of it coming out of vehicle. Yes, you are so.
111 to 89. Right? Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. That is my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So the question is on OPEX. So even if we do this adjustment in terms of outsourced agent role, but still at the overall OPEX level, the sequential rise seems to be quite high. So where do we see OPEX to assets, and we see it across the segments, it's not particular. Across the cost to assets. So what would be the outlook on that? And if you can just share the number of employees who have now been on the on roll, because it doesn't seem to include in this 51,000 employees which we have.
No, we still keep it at 3% average asset level. That is what is our stated thing, and we are confident we should be within that, as we close the year this year. This quarter increase is because of the increments that normally happen in Q2, because all our employees get their annual increments as well as promotions, etc., in effective July. So you have the full hit of that comes, that is one thing, as well as there has been incremental people.
And all annual incentives are also accounted in this quarter.
So X of employee overhead also seems to be high if we adjust for this transfer. Okay, so no doubt it's a decline, but if we just...
Yeah, there is a disclosure on the number of employees also.
So that includes off-roll.
We're saying X of employees, you're saying the other over.
Other overhead is because branch expansion is there, and other overhead has not moved that much. You can see that.
Okay. And off-roll to on-roll?
That is what is the reason for the shift between employee cost and other expenses. So you look at it together and take out the employee cost, across the three comparative quarters we are doing, either it is Q1 of current year or the Q2 of previous year. You will see that there is a manpower increase of around 12,000 members plus. I'm talking Q2 of last year versus Q2 of this year, plus that increase in headcount, plus the cost increase because of the annual increments, and then if you compare, they would be. So outsource movement from off-roll to on-roll is the shift in line item, not shift or increase in cost.
Yeah. And this 51,000 doesn't include off-roll, which we have discussed. We have 50,980. That doesn't include.
That includes off-road.
Okay, okay. So it's not more than 2,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. First is on what is the comfort level of unsecured exposure on AUM basis that we have from a medium to long term perspective. And second is, if I look at yields on the housing loan segment, these are quite high at 15% plus. Most of the affordable housing finance companies we track are operating at around 13% yield. So how should we think about the sustainability of the yields and profitability in housing finance business?
So unsecured 10% is what we would kind of view our comfort level. Over the next 2 years, right? Kind of, I mean, not saying that we will go there, but if you're asking for a cap, then that is a cap, okay?
Yeah, and in the affordable housing, as you know, that now we have started moving from south to other markets, smaller market, where tier 2, tier 3, tier 3, tier 4 pricing are slightly higher than the normal, and that need to be maintained because to that extent, you know, we need to check whether what kind of risk is there. So we have priced it slightly higher than that in this smaller town. And that's the reason the overall yield has gone up. And also yield has gone up because of the rate reset as well.
Sure. Thank you. That's it for myself.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on the quarter. I'm just referring to your sector outlook on slide 33. What really makes you cautious on HCV and SCV at this juncture? Especially for HCV, you mentioned increase in operating costs. So just wanted to understand that better.
In heavy commercial vehicle, actually, you know that we, for us, the problem is that if our cost of fund is high, we don't participate in. And SRTOs are not able to participate because there is a formalization happening in the heavy commercial vehicle business. That is what we are trying to mention. Our exposure as of now is 7% and we are trading careful in this segment due to the increase in price and operating cost of the vehicle. Because cost of vehicle goes up, then our customer segment is not in position to, you know, acquire the vehicle and operate that. Because our customers are small road transport operator, they don't have the contract of the load. And they need to look for the load and therefore the productivity goes down. Wherein the captive and mid-size or large fleet operator, they have a contract and therefore they can manage in spite of the cost of vehicle going up.
No, but why do you say operating costs are up? Because fuel prices have been, which is the largest cost, fuel and toll are the big costs. I don't know about toll, but fuel prices have been stable now for more than a year.
Oh, driver and, you know, driver cost, then the insurance cost, all those costs are also going up significantly.
Achha,
diesel,
okay,
fuel
okay.
Cost is the constant, but rest of the costs are also gone up.
Got it. And just quickly on your other income, which used to be like 40, 50 crores per quarter. Now, last two quarters, it's been tracking more than 100 crores, this time 140. Can you just give us a sense of what exactly is included in this other income?
No, this quarter, there's a dividend income into it. We have given that in the notes, if you can see that. Normally, the other income should be in the range of around 30, 35 crores, 40 crores, yeah. The last quarter, we had the FLDG coming in into this, which was the largest one. This quarter, it's not to that extent, it is much lesser. And but it, there is a dividend income coming. This will stabilize into this 40-50 crore levels.
Got it. Okay, I would have missed that. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhaskar Basu from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just two questions. I think one you partly clarified. So on these variable commission structure with fintechs, etc., is the variable fee or commission netted off in the yield level? And so to some extent, is that FLDG or quasi-FLDG embedded in the yield? That was number one. And secondly, if we look at your unsecured portfolio, which is about 8,000 crore, I think you talked about 2,000 crore being fintech partners. So as you kind of calibrate your fintech book, what are the steps you're taking? I mean, do you expect the whole book to slow or are you building or are you taking any steps to kind of build your traditional channel so that the growth there continues to sustain? Yeah, these are the two questions.
There is no variable commission and all. What happens is you the share of yield is differentiated when you what based on the portfolio, based on the FNDC, based on the volumes. So many factors run into it. So what is the ultimate yield and what is the share the fintech partner retains and what is the share they share with. So this will change partnership to partnership and this cannot be disclosed as confidentiality with all of them and we also don't want to disclose these things right now. So that is what is there over and over the FLDG which will protect us. Got it?
Yeah.
So now,
as far as the mix is concerned, as you mentioned, is right, that 75% is basically part traditional book and 25% is partnership book. And in the partnership, as you asked that, you know, what are we doing it? Out of the 10 or 12 partners we have today, there are few partners we have seen that there is a requirement to, you know, calibrate their, you know, underwriting now to reduce. But at the same time, the others are doing well. So, you know, those who are doing well, we need not just, you know, reduce their number. And probably they might increase also. So what we are saying is that as of now, we are focusing more on traditional to increase our share of 75% to higher than 75%. But that doesn't mean that the 2,000 number will go down. And 2,000 number is actually going to be maintained as it is. But it is coming from the better, you know, partner who are having a good quality and lower NCL and lower NPA.
Right. So just a clarification there on the first part. What I was referring to is performance related commission, where there is a whole structure wherein you kind of the commission is linked to performance of the portfolio. So I was basically referring to those. I mean, FLDG is very clear.
It
I think.
Be there earlier, but now we don't pursue that part.
Oh, okay. Okay, and so FLDG is now reflected in the other income is what I understand, right?
On write-off, it will reflect. Till then, okay. It will be outside the book because we keep providing for that book. And once we know that, like either it crosses 90 days or 180 days or we get a confirmation that this is not collectible, then we invoke the FLDG and the moment FLDG is received, we show it as income there and reduce the short of write-off here in the NCL line.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question is from Nischint from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. So my question actually pertains to the release that you have done you know, to the exchanges on the family arrangement. You know, now without getting into the specifics because it's a family matter, but just curious, is there any implication for the listed company and its shareholders in terms of the shareholding pattern changing or any changes in management or anything of that sort that listed shareholders need to be aware about?
And I said, I think we've clearly stated in the statement itself that there's no impact to listed companies or the shareholders. So just to give you a sense, the transaction is fairly simple in that we have a holding company, which is Ambadi Investments Limited, that then holds equity in all the underlying kind of companies of the group, right? And that family member owned a percentage of Ambadi Investments Limited, which we have now basically effectively bought back from that family segment. Right. So basically now, the only transaction is in the holding company, but all the rest of the members of the family continue to hold equity in the holding company, and we bought back her portion of it. I mean, that not hers, but her segment's portion of it. Right? So there's no implication on anything else in public companies and no implication for other shareholders at all.
Perfect. That's very sense for sure. That's very reassuring. That was the last question for today's call. So thank you everybody for attending this call, and thanks a lot to the management for giving us an opportunity to host this call.
Thank you. Thank you, Nishan.
Thank you. On behalf of Kotak Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.